For many years, I've lived in the small town of Yarmouth, and we have a wonderful skating rink behind our bank on Main Street where people play pond hockey. And today we have two individuals who are quite committed to the idea of pond hockey here in the state of Maine. We have Patrick Garrett, who is a senior program director at the Alphonse Youth Center in Waterville and the tournament director of the Maine Pond Hockey Classic, being held February 10th through 12th in Sydney. We also have Joshua Perry, who is a firefighter and paramedic for the South Portland Fire Department and the captain of two South Portland Fire Department teams at the tournament. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So this is a pretty great idea to do a pond hockey classic. Whose idea was it?
Kind of my idea. So when I started working at the Alphonse Youth Center, I met the CEO and we were talking about different creative fundraising ideas that we could do, and I just read an article in USA Hockey Magazine about pond hockey tournaments. So the idea was fresh in my brain, and I was like, hey, that sounds like something we could do in Maine and in this area. And so he kind of challenged me to put it together, and you know, 5 years later, here we are. So I think it was a good idea. It still seems like a good idea.
Well, what do you think, Joshua? You've been doing hockey for, you said, told me 30 years or something?
Yeah, last year was our first year playing, and I've never played in a pond hockey tournament before. I heard Pat on a local radio show promoting it. Sounded like a fun idea, and last year was the first time for almost all of us playing in a pond hockey tournament, and we had such a good time. We're back again and bringing more people this time.
Now, both of you have a history of playing hockey. Was it always on ponds, or was it in regular rinks?
I mean, for me, I actually, I picked up organized hockey very late. So my whole like childhood of hockey was pond hockey. I didn't start playing organized hockey until I was a sophomore in high school, actually. So for me, pond hockey was all I really knew. And I didn't even play a lot of that. It was not until like really get later into high school and college that I've enjoyed playing hockey on a high level. So I try to play hockey all the time now because I didn't get it younger when I was a kid. So
I played both organized hockey growing up and just skating around, and just that was what I loved about it. It was a lot of freedom just to go out and skate, and it wasn't so structured or organized. It was just kind of stress-free, and you could practice different things, be creative, and just have fun with your friends. And I think that's one of the big draws about pond hockey and skating around, is it's just a good time with your friends. You don't have that structure and pressure from practices and games and everything.
And you grew up in Millinocket.
I did, yeah. So we had a lot of lakes and ponds that we could, if the weather cooperated, we could skate on. Or there was a big public skating rink in town. Our games were outside, so it was pretty interesting.
It also, it seems like you're always kind of working with the elements. Sometimes it's a little colder, sometimes it's a little warmer. What happens when the ice on the pond isn't quite as good as you'd like it to be?
Well, that's pond hockey. I think a lot of people would say is, you know, every year we have people, you know, they say stuff about, you know, the ice isn't good, and it's like, well, it's not a rink, you know, and so you kind of got to deal with what's thrown at you. And a lot of it for us as tournament organizers has been trial and error. We've learned a lot over the past 5 years about what you do and what you don't do. Like one year we were like, people were complaining about the ice, so we decided to flood, and that just made it worse because of the temperature. So it was like, we're not going to do that anymore if temperature's not right for it. And so it's just kind of knowing how to treat the elements, and then just kind of working around whatever comes your way. So like last year we had extremely cold temperatures, which was funny because it was super warm all winter, and people were even asking if we were going to have enough ice to do a tournament. And then we had, you know, negative 20 with wind chill kind of factors throughout the weekend. And then you know, previous years we had a winter storm Nemo our first year of our tournament, so it's always been kind of fun to, you know, see what's going to get thrown at us at the last minute. So I don't look at the extended forecast because it either stresses me out or misleads me into believing that it's going to be all perfect and hunky-dory. So we just don't look at it until like the week of and say whatever comes our way, we'll handle it.
And you've never had to actually postpone or cancel it?
We actually did one year. It was 2 years ago. We had several storms that were back-to-back of heavy, heavy snow. And the ice was great, but the weight of the snow actually, when we plowed it all off, was breaking the ice. So and that was a prop issue that anywhere we would have gone. So that was kind of what we ran into, and we had people that had already gotten plane tickets and hotels, and it's not one of those things you can postpone necessarily. So you know, what we did is we refunded everybody's money and said, you know, let's bring it back the next year and kind of pick it up from there. And that's when these guys got involved. So we learned a lot that year about what to do and what not to do, and so we've put kind of some stop gaps in place to make sure that doesn't happen again.
So, Joshua, you actually you spent some time outside of the state.
I have.
What were you doing?
I was in the Air Force for 8 years, and I lived in Montana and for 3 years, and 3 years in Germany.
So when you came back to Maine, did it feel like you had a renewed interest in doing things outdoors and really embracing the weather that we have?
Montana and Germany were pretty similar, and I packed my hockey gear wherever I went, so I got to play a bunch of hockey in Montana, and I played a fair amount in Germany as well. Against our base team played a bunch of local German teams, so that was pretty interesting. A different style of hockey, but yeah, after spending 8 years away, I was pretty excited to come back home and be back here.
So you have two teams that you're in charge of, and they're all firefighters?
Yeah, pretty much. We had a couple people drop out, so we've reached out to a couple other people. One's a brother-in-law of one of our players, one's from Lewiston Fire, one's my neighbor, so just had to fill up a couple spots where people backed out at the last minute, and we wanted to make it work.
And these are all people who have some background playing hockey?
Almost. We had such a good time last year, and guys at work are probably sick about hearing us talk about how much fun we've had. One guy bought gear this year and is going to learn how to play. We don't really care. We're just in it to have a good time and to hang out with each other. We're a small department with three different stations and four shifts, so we don't always get to see some of the guys, and this is a great way for us to hang out together and spend time with our other coworkers that we don't get to see as much, so it'll be pretty fun.
Yeah, it was really funny. After last year's tournament, it was either you or one of your players reached out to me and were like, listen, next year, could you have a division where it's just you show up and you play and there's no tournament or competition, because we just want to come up and play and have a good time. And I was like, that sounds like a good idea. So we actually added a just for fun division this year, and where there was no playoffs, it was just you get guaranteed like to play games both days, which we actually didn't get enough teams signed up for that, but we had another outside team that was interested. So I think it has merit, and I think it'll grow from there. But I thought it was interesting that these guys kind of came up with that. I was like, yeah, that's way easier for me to even to organize to just do it that way. So I was like, let's throw it in there and see what happens.
So how is it structured? What are the divisions, and how many people do you usually get?
So this year's our biggest tournament. We have 62 teams that are signed up. We have four divisions that we'll be playing this year. So we have we call it an Open A, which is our highest level of competition. The team that went last year are all UNE alumni hockey players, so that tells you about the level of competition that's there. Then our Open B is a lot of, like, I would say, upper level men's leagues teams or guys that are, you know, kind of getting back into it that maybe were at a high level before. We have a recreational C division, which is kind of like your general, everybody, like, we still want to be competitive, but we know we're not a high level player. And then we actually have a 40 and over division this year, 40 and over as well. We had a women's division as well. We didn't get enough teams, so they're going to play in the women's team that we have is going to play in the Open B division, because they're all ex college hockey players, and they're like, yeah, we're going to take on all the boys, so that'll be fun. And then the just for fun division, which again we had to roll those teams in other divisions. So we always, if a team wants to play, we'll find an opportunity for them to play in one of the divisions, and we'll look to continue to expand. So next year we've talked about adding a 50 and over division, because a lot of the guys in the 40 and over are actually like 60 and over. So like, can we bump up the ages a little bit so we don't have to skate against 41-year-olds?
So how many people does this entail between all the people on all the teams, and then you have volunteers and you have people like yourself? What are we talking about?
You know, probably throughout the course of the weekend, players, volunteers, spectators, probably looking at about 1,000 people that'll be involved. So about 500-ish players and you know, we have a lot of different volunteers, and it's funny that like Snow Pond, which is also Meslonsky Lake, is a very popular ice fishing spot in central Maine, and we're really close to the Sydney Boat Landing, which is where a lot of people access it. So we'll get a lot of extra foot traffic of ice fishermen just be like, hey, what's going on over there? Let me check it out. So we would encourage that too, because I think it adds something for the players to have, you know, spectators around checking it out and, you know, cheering on. And I even know that like these guys last year, when they got knocked out of the tournament, they went back out and were cheering on the team that knocked them out of the tournament, just because they wanted to stay engaged and involved, which I thought was pretty cool.
So it sounds like you really make a weekend of this.
Yeah, we try to. I think that was the big draw for us with the Just for Fun division, because we know we're not. Actually, last year we did make it to the playoffs. But with this year, with that many more teams, we know we're done on Saturday, and we just wanted to come out and have a good time and kind of make the weekend out of it. And we were kind of sad that it didn't happen, but we're going to stick around and play each other or play another team on Sunday just for fun.
Yeah.
So what is it about hockey that has appealed to you and has caused you to bring your gear to Germany and to Montana and to keep doing this?
It's just such a fun sport. I mean, growing up in Maine, and as cold as the winters are and as much snow, you got to get outside and enjoy it, or it's going to be a long time. I don't know what the draw of the sport was for me, but it's just something that's captured a big part of me, and I love doing it. My son is he's going to be 5 next month, and we're out on the ponds. This pond 2 blocks from our house, and this is the first year he's really been interested in skating, and you know, to watch him take his first skates was almost as proud of a moment as watching him take his first steps, and getting him outside and wearing him out. So that's been the big draw for me.
And does his mom also skate or
play
hockey?
Yeah, she comes out. She doesn't play hockey, but she'll come out and skate around and or encourage us to get out of the house and go skate so she can have some alone time, but yeah.
So, Patrick, you have a girl or a boy?
I have a boy.
You have a boy. And he's only 9 months old.
Yep.
So you haven't probably done much with skating at this point.
No, he's just learning how to crawl right now. So, but he'll have skates next winter. So, you know, I've been, you know, again, I work in, you know, youth development, I would say. And so I'm never going to force his hand, but I'm going to provide opportunities for him to do the things, especially the things I really like to do. So he'll probably have skates pretty early on in life. And, you know, the other sports that I like, he probably have the opportunities to do those. But if he says, I want to be a musician or I want to be an artist, and we'll support him in that too. So whatever he wants to do, we'll do. But I hope he likes hockey.
Well, I would think that after putting all this amount of time into the Pond Hockey Classic, that obviously, you know, if he could come along and he could be part of this as time goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, when you're talking about, like what is the allure to hockey, and I think for a lot of kids, it's, you know, you can skate faster than you can run, or, you know, so it's like the idea of, like, kids like to go fast. So I think getting kids on skates so they can go faster than they can normally is really kind of a thrilling, and it takes less energy so they can go further faster, and it's a great team sport too. Like, there's not a lot of sports where you have to, you know, it's really hard to be an individual hockey player and take over the entire game, just because of the nature of the game. But you know, there are some other sports where it's a little easier, so I like the team aspect of it.
So originally your tournament was up in China Lake, is that right?
Yeah, so we had a great spot in China Lake for the first couple of years. There were some limitations, but it was highly visible right off a main road in China, and it's this place called The Landing. So they had like a building right there, a small parking lot. And after the first 2 years, we kind of quickly realized that we were going to outgrow this location. So we started looking for other spots, just because there was not a lot of parking right out there. There was plenty of ice, but no parking and none of the other amenities. So I started driving all around Central Maine looking at any spot that I thought might work. And it's almost embarrassing that I didn't know that the New England Music Camp, which is where we are located out of, which is now the Snow Pond Center for the Arts, was like the perfect location right in my home, like the town that I was living in. And I stumbled across it and I talked to the owner, and it turns out that you know, his family's kind of a hockey family. They grew up in Connecticut as like Whalers fans, and they were like, oh, this would be great. We're totally on board. So they've been very good about supporting the tournament. But it was kind of just funny. I was like, I wish I would have found this place the first year. Not that China wasn't great, but like they have everything. They have a lodge overlooks the lake, like great drive-on access right where they're at. And then like, again, we're so close to the Sydney boat landing that it makes it great for trying to move stuff over to the tournament and whatnot. It's because they plow that out for trucks to be able to put out ice shacks and whatnot. So I honestly can't believe that we didn't find it sooner.
Well, there's a lot going on in central Maine that I'm not sure a lot of people know about. You grew up, obviously, much further north in Millinocket. Did you know that all of this was going on in central Maine, Joshua?
No, I think I just happened to be listening to the radio station about the tournament, and I just was looking for something fun to do with my coworkers, and let's give it a try and see if we can get a team together, and luckily we were able to get one together. So that was all our first time playing in a pond hockey tournament.
So were you surprised by anything in the last couple years with regard to this pond hockey tournament?
I was surprised at how easy it was for us to get an actual team together. I thought it was going to be a little bit more challenging for us to get a team. I think last year was your first year at Snow Pond.
Yeah, it was the first year at Snow Pond, yeah.
And we knew that was their first time being there. It was our first time playing in a tournament, so we didn't have any ideas of really what to expect. And the weather was crazy, and Pat and the volunteers put on such an awesome event. One, it being their first time at a new location, the weather, they did a fantastic job. We had so much fun. We were pretty impressed by that and surprised by that, so it made getting a second team a little bit easier.
So when you're not on the ice, actually playing in the games, it sounds like you do a lot of supporting other teams.
Yeah.
Or maybe doing some supporting of other teams.
It was the polar dip that you could watch. My wife and son came up, and there was a skating rink on the side. There was a beer garden. That's where a lot of the teams hung out, especially around the fire, staying warm, or just waiting in between games, yep.
So who was doing the polar dip?
So that's another fundraiser that we do for the Elf Line Youth Center. We used to do it later in the year, but when we started doing this event, we just were like, why don't we just do it together? It'd be kind of fun, you know, from both sides. And it's mostly local people from the central Maine area that come up and they come out and do the polar bear dip. You know, we have local businesses and local. Kind of celebrities like politicians and selectmen that will jump to and raise money for the Elf on Youth Center. It's our 23rd year doing the polar bear dip. I think could be 22nd. Don't quote me on that, but I know it's recorded. It's been going on for a while. It's always been a fun kind of thing to jump in really cold water, and it's kind of neat, and it's really neat because you're like really like we're cutting a hole in the ice to jump in. It's very shallow, so nobody gets swept away, but it's kind of this neat little atmosphere, in the past we've done it like at a pool that we filled up in front of the Elf on Youth Center. I don't think that has the same allure of jumping in the middle of a lake in the middle of a pond hockey tournament. So
you attract teams really from all over, not just within the state of Maine.
Yeah, that's actually, we've gotten teams, this year we have teams from as far away as Pennsylvania and New Jersey, Long Island, or teams and players. Actually, I was talking to one captain the other day, they have a brother that might be flying up from Florida to play in the tournament. So definitely it's attracting people from away. I think a lot of, you kind of hinted earlier, like, if you're from Maine, like there's always something that kind of draws you back a little bit. So for some people that are out of state, this is their opportunity to come back and kind of experience like the winter, their childhood winter as an adult. So I think that's what this kind of provides for a few people. And then people just, there are other people that have never played pond hockey before, that they grew up, in the southern states and have only played rink hockey. So there's an allure to that as well. So I think there's a lot of unique aspects to this that people don't necessarily get if they've never grown up in like New England or the northern United States and been able to skate on a pond. So that attracts players for a reason.
What are some of those aspects? I guess I'll ask either one of you. Maybe either one of you can answer.
Well, I would say that pond hockey is different in the sense that, like, the ice conditions, because the ice is always going to be a little imperfect. So, like, you know, it's kind of, you never know what the puck's going to do. I would say that it really works on, like, good fundamentals as far as, like, hand-eye coordination and stick work. So it's much less of a skating game, and it's more of a passing and stick handling game. I don't know if that's your thoughts.
Yeah, the rules are a bit different. I think the ice conditions can kind of equalize the teams a bit too. So you kind of in the back of your head, like, oh, that corner over there is bad, I can't go as fast into that corner, or you can't pass there's no boards to pass the puck up. So it really emphasizes on skills of passing, and it takes away some of the other dynamics that you can do on a rink that you just can't do. You got to just be really good at shooting and passing. And just being outside is just a different aspect of it. It's a lot more fun than going to a rink.
Is it structured? Is the game structured with the same number of minutes?
No, it's shorter. So we do 2 20-minute halves of running time. And you can do it differently. I mean, pond hockey, when you grew up as a kid, it's like we'll play to 11 goals or play to however many goals, or play till it gets dark and we'll say last goal, and, you know, whoever scores wins. But for the structure of the tournament, we do 2 20-minute halves, and then, you know, the short halftime. And that just keeps the flow moving. We also have a lot of, you know, the one thing I think that the fact that we don't have an official out on the ice too. So we have a scorekeeper who's kind of there as our eyes and ears, but that it's really self-regulated gameplay. So that's also kind of part of pond hockey, is there's no ref, there's no, you know, so it's kind of gentlemanly rules.
And call your own penalties. And
yeah, and nobody goes into the penalty box really until there's an extreme violation. So so a lot of it is just making sure that we're having this mutual respect and admiration that we're both out here playing and having fun. We all have to go to work on Monday, so let's not get anybody hurt, and let's have fun and play hockey.
So how often is this penalty box utilized, and what would be something so egregious as to land some from the pond hockey tournament in it?
No, there's no penalty. It's just a turnover of the puck and who gets the puck. Like, you're not supposed to really play goalie or camp out in front of the goal, or when the puck goes out of bounds, who did it go off, who did it last touch, and just, you're not supposed to lift the puck. You got to pretty much keep it on the ice or below the shins. So it's just small things like that. It's kind of a gentleman's agreement.
And these guys were really, so it all comes, like, these guys have always been very good about, I would say they're very polite. So we have some players that get a little intense, and we all know who they are. And they're the people that are at risk of not, I would say, end up in the penalty box. So fighting will get you kicked out for the rest of the tournament. So we've had a couple, like the first year, we had a couple of people that wanted to take the game into the snowbank with each other. And so they earned a ticket out of the tournament. So I'm pretty staunch on no fighting. You know, we do try to make this a family-friendly event. So we don't want people kind of doing that. And there's other things too. If, like, somebody does something new intentionally, try to hurt somebody or injure somebody, that's going to get them sent home too. So really, it's like, it's a very firm line that basically physically trying to harm somebody will get you sent home right away.
So we talk a lot about people leaving Maine, younger people leaving Maine, but you're both individuals who have left and you came back. And you came back, and now you have children, and you're raising your children within the state of Maine. I know that, Josh, you talked a little bit about coming back, but mm-hmm. Why did you decide to do that?
I always knew that I wanted to be on a city or a career firefighter, and then when I left the Air Force, I really wasn't sure where I was going to go, and I kind of wanted to come back home. I knew I was going to start a family and be here, the quality of life that Maine has. And when you're away for a while, you just really get the perspective of what Maine has to offer and what you miss about it. And everything that I wanted as an adult and what I wanted in my future, Maine had to offer. And that's pretty much why I came back.
Okay. And I'd say my story is pretty similar. Like, my wife and I, when we got married, when we decided we wanted to start raising a family, we both kind of knew that Maine was where we grew up, and we really liked what it provided for us as children. And you know, I was actually living in central Massachusetts, and you know, I hate traffic too. And so I always say, when I spend 60 minutes in a car, I want to go 60 miles, not 16 miles. So I think one of the things that I really enjoy about Maine is being able to get a lot of places in a, you know, an hour, you know, especially from central Maine. I can get to the coast, I can get to the mountains, I can get to, you know, Bangor, Portland. So there's something I really like about that. But now that I have a 9-month-old, I definitely want him to be able to, you know, experience playing outdoors and not have to worry about, you know, some of the things that you have to worry about in a city or a more densely populated area. So we have a big yard, and, you know, we wouldn't be able to have that in a lot of other places. So definitely enjoy those types of things.
You have degrees in education from the University of Maine, and you grew up in the central Maine area. Does it strike you that we do a lot with organized sports with younger children, so that there's a lot of rules, there's a lot of tournaments, there's a lot of games, there's a lot of structure, and that what you're talking about is, here, you've gotten a little older, and now you have to kind of self-correct. There's a whole different set of rules, or maybe that it's not the same rules you're used to.
Yeah, I mean, again, we talked a little bit about, like, the difference of playing pond hockey, and he mentioned not having the structure of an organized practice and how that's good for, like, development of your skills. So it's like, you know, you're not gonna, as a youth on a hockey team, you're probably not going to try some things because you don't want to make a mistake and cause your team to lose. But in pond hockey, you can take all those risks and take all those chances, and there's no, like, negative repercussions, so you can learn a lot, because we learn, we all know, we learn more from our mistakes than our successes, right? So you make a mistake, okay, I won't do it that way again. So I think that's one of the things that I really like about the style of gameplay, playing pond hockey and getting kids out. And I think there's kind of this grassroots movement back to that, and you see, like, USA Hockey is doing more, like, cross ice 3-on-3 with younger age, so the kids are touching the puck more and having more opportunities to kind of try things and make mistakes. So I think I hope we continue to do that. I get in debates all the time with people about the pros and cons of, like, travel, youth travel activities. You know, they spend all the time on the road, so how much time are they getting to actually play games, and is that the best return on your investment as far as, like, what you can actually do for your child during those 6 hours and playing one hour game. So it's like, I think it's, the answer is different for everybody, but I think, you know, I look at what's right for, you know, like, my kids and my community. I hope that we kind of go more towards the model of, like, let's get these kids as much opportunity playing with each other and grow some really strong homegrown programs right in our community, so that all these kids have opportunity, and not just the kids that can travel to Massachusetts and play an organized hockey tournament. So I don't even know if I answered the question, but I think
yeah.
I thought that was really interesting and appropriate.
It's definitely a conversation that my wife and I have with our son, you know, turning 5 and getting into the sport, and it's definitely a tough battle. We want him to do whatever he wants, and if he does decide to play hockey, but at the same time, we feel that there's a whole lot of stress that are put on the kids to play, like, one individual sport all the time and to play in these different leagues and travel. And it's like, I did a lot playing through high school, and I was just so burned out from the sport, I didn't really want to do it. And the pressure for the kids to play these one sports is a lot more now. So we definitely battle, or not battle, but discuss about how, if we want them to do these and to have all that stress of, like, a 10-year-old or a 9-year-old, and, like, we want them to do other things, not just one. And, but getting out onto the pond, just to have that dad time or the family time or just him on his own, we think it's really important for his development, for us as a family, to have that time together. And next year, we've been putting a little money aside, so next year we won't have to schlep everything over to the pond. We'll be in our backyard, so we can stay out longer and have other neighbor kids come over and play. And
so you're going to create a backyard rink.
Yeah, that's our goal for next year, yeah.
And it's funny he says that, because he's not the only person I've talked to from this tournament that now that he's playing the tournament, they've kind of they haven't played. I have this one guy that comes to mind that hasn't played in a number of years, and after last year, I was talking to his wife recently, and he's like, yeah, he kind of went nuts. He built a backyard rink, and he's out there all the time with my son, and he's putting way more time. So she's like kind of upset at me because he's gotten into it, but she's also at the same time, the same things. It's like really good for him and his son to have that time together and have that spot where they can kind of go, and it's kind of something they both be passionate about. So those are the residual things that I hear from this tournament that are really nice for me to hear. It's like, oh, really, we made a bigger impact than I thought we were going to make just by having this tournament.
Well, I appreciate both of you taking the time out of your very busy schedules to come in here and have a conversation with me today. I'm looking forward to actually going up and seeing it for myself. I encourage anybody else who's interested to go up and see it for themselves. This tournament is the Maine Pond Hockey Classic, being held February 10th through 12th in Sydney, Maine. We've been speaking with Patrick Garrett, who is the Senior Program Director at the Alphon Youth Center in Waterville and the Tournament Director of the Pond Hockey Classic, and also with Joshua Perry, who is a firefighter. And also with Joshua Perry, who is a firefighter and paramedic for the South Portland Fire Department and the captain of two South Portland Fire Department teams at the tournament. Well, good luck. I wish you both all the best.
Thank you. Thank you. And can't wait to see you in a couple weeks.